Hello and welcome back to the Lawn Hustle. If you're in the green industry and ready to take your lawn care business to the next level, you're in the right place. I am Andy Wilson, your host, with 16 years of experience in the field. Each week we dive into strategies, stories, and secrets to help you scale your business and take it to the next level. Whether you're starting out or you're ready to scale to the next level, this is your space to learn, to grow, and to hustle smarter. Now, let's get to work. In tonight's episode, we have a special guest with us, Steve and Brenda Ellis. We were on Steve and Brenda's podcast right before the holidays, and we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. So my wife is joining me as a co-host tonight. Steve and Brenda, thank you so much for joining the Lawn Hustle.
Thank you. It's great to be here. We appreciate you having us on, and we enjoyed the opportunity to sit down for another conversation.
Well, let's dive right in. Tonight, I want to talk about how our faith can guide our business journey. And can you share with us how your faith journey began and how it influences your day-to-day life? Steve, you might want to go first, and then Brenda can share her story.
Wow. How much time do we have tonight? Brenda and I have kind of a unique story in that we both grew up in the church together. We lived in the same town. We went to separate high schools, but we have known each other. In fact, I always joke because some of the first pictures we have of each other together, we are in diapers in our church nursery. And so we have been part of a church, and faith has just been part of our lives from a very early age. And so we grew up in church. We were blessed to have, my mother and Brenda's parents kind of nurture us and bring us up in the church and in the faith. Not to say we haven't had our own questions, our own struggles, but we did grow up in the church. We've known each other our whole lives. I was pretty young, 13, 14, I believe, about the time I gave my life to the Lord and started being just a lot more intentional about following Him, about having faith shape my life. Brenda and I were serving in various roles in the church we have for many years, in high school and youth group. We were leaders of our youth group. And so we've just kind of grown up in the faith and been able to just have that influence, the influence of the scriptures, the influence of the Spirit, guide and direct our lives from an early age. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean we're perfect people. It doesn't mean we don't have our own things to work through, but it has been a part of our lives. And I am thankful for that history. I'm thankful for growing up and having the ability to learn and just grow up in the faith, if you will. I'm appreciative to that. Bryn?
It's kind of hard to tell our stories separately because we really have known each other our whole lives, with the same church, same youth group, all of that together. So it's kind of feels like one story. I was 13 when I was baptized. My dad was an elder in the church. My mom was the church secretary. I feel like I was there every time the doors were open, and then, got married. And then this guy becomes a preacher on the side, So now I find myself a preacher's wife. And that's just kind of how it's been. The church is, it's impossible to talk about our life without our faith too. It's just been a part of the whole thing.
Right. And that's guided our, we've tried to let that guide our decisions, our choices, the things that we do. We were challenged early on in our marriage to just kind of be able to put scripture with thing that we're doing. So the choices that we make, the decisions, like, you know, on parenting, on our attitude toward business and, you know, wealth and money, we just try to let Scripture kind of inform that decision as best we can.
That is so good. Robin, why don't you tell us a little bit how your faith guides you in your day-to-day life?
So I was not, I didn't go to church when I was very young, but I had a grandmother that took me when I visited her, and I just saw the life that she walked, and really, really wanted what she had with her faith. Everywhere I went, I didn't feel what I felt when I was with my grandmother as far as that relationship that she had with the Lord. And some of my favorite memories are as a child. So it was Galveston, Texas, and she didn't have an air conditioner, and she would have the windows open at night. It was the second floor, and that breeze coming through off the Gulf. Right. And she would just sing and pray out loud. And I could just feel the presence of the Lord in her little house. She was a very humble place that she lived, very simple. And so she put that love for Jesus, just watching her, is even as a little girl. And as I grew, I wanted what she had. And so I started seeking the Lord and followed as I got older. And even today, I know where I need to turn when I need help or when I need guidance, and I turn to the Lord and I go back to the wisdom that my grandmother put in my life growing up. And so even this week, I took my Bible and I just held it close to my heart and asked God to guide me on some certain things and kept the Bible close to me this week. So, yeah.
We actually slept with the Bible.
I did. I slept with the Bible this week.
Maybe
yeah.
Some of that'll just soak through, right? Soak through the
Bible. Yes. Yes.
Did you realize that we are actually about 40 miles from Galveston?
No. Where are you?
I couldn't believe when you said that. I don't know that we talked about this last time.
No, we didn't.
Our favorite place in the world. The island is our favorite.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
We'll talk later about where your grandmother lived. I absolutely love Galveston history and all of it.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay, so where do you live 40 miles? Are you in Lake Lamarck or that area? Or?
We're very close by there. It's a little city called Pasadena. Not so little anymore, but it's southeast of Houston.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
We're known for the
okay,
oil
I
mine.
Grew up in Houston.
Wow,
yes.
Yeah,
that's my stomping grounds. I grew up in Houston, and so I would go home. I would go to my grandma's house on the weekends, and we spent summers. Like, we'd go this summer and spend a couple weeks with her, and she would take me to church. And so the little church is still there on the Galveston Island. My grandmother's buried on the island there. And so when we take a cruise, of course, I want to go out of Galveston so we can go a couple days early and go put flowers on her grave.
Oh, yeah.
And and spend some time on the beach. And I got baptized in the Gulf. So,
oh, yeah. That is for me.
Yeah. So, because the little church that we went to did not have a baptismal tank. And so that's
right.
Where they would baptize new believers. So,
I mean,
yeah.
If your church is on the island, there's really no need to have a baptismal tank.
Right. Yeah. Right just there. Me. Let me tell you, though, it was April. And now I have, because I live in Indiana, I have that cold, like I'm used to the cold, but April, it was freezing to me to get baptized. So, yeah.
That's really neat.
Something else, when you were sharing your story, I was reminded of, and Andy's like, I lost the podcast already. But my parents divorced.
That's okay.
Yeah. My parents divorced when I was 6 years old, and my mom and dad lived, I mean, my dad was great. Don't take this the wrong way. He taught me how to fish, how to hunt, He was very mechanical, taught me how to work on everything. So I am extremely appreciative of that. But my dad was also kind of a troublemaker in a lot of ways. And the family business back in those days was a bunch of beer joints, if you can believe that. So I grew up kind of in the bars a lot as a younger kid. But I remember, yep, you were talking about your grandmother and the influence that she had there. I remember sitting down with my dad, and again, I think I was about 6, maybe 7 years old, and he said, "Son, you see the life I live, you see my lifestyle, and you see your mother's lifestyle, you're going to have to make a choice who you're going to be." And I just vividly remember that conversation and where it took place, everything about it. And I just remember, yes, that day saying, you know what, I'm gonna choose to you know, emulate the things I see over here. So anyway, just that influence.
Yes.
Well, Steve.
Amazing. Yeah, that's awesome.
You are a pastor and you own a lawn care business. So tell me, how does your faith shape the way you interact with clients and employees?
Yeah, so the employee is my wife. We work together. And we're just a single...
He treats me pretty good.
We're just, right now, it's just solo. And we are going to, for the foreseeable future, probably just remain kind of solo and bring in help when we can. But to answer your question more directly, the relationship with the customers, and for me, lawn care, there's a backstory here, and we, you know, happy to go into that. But for me, lawn care is an extension of ministry. And what I'm trying to do, you know, we all have to earn money. We all have to make money, pay the bills. We get it. I understand that. And there is something about you need to be efficient when you're out running from day to day. But at the same time, when I approach customers, my approach to them is I'm here to provide a service, number one. I want to provide the best service I possibly can, because that, you know, my work reflects my faith. It reflects the Lord in many ways. But number two is just, it's about relationships. And everything I do is about building relationships. And so even with customers, I'm doing my best to cultivate and build relationships. You know, there have been times where we have had, even in this short period that we've been back into this game, I've had customers that we're praying together on the back porch. You know, one particular individual was just sharing, you know, her daughter's going through a very, very hard time. And, you know, we had an opportunity to talk about it and just kind of share what was going on in their family and some of the medical things that were happening. And so it's just that opportunity to shut down. Let's sit down on the back porch and let's say a prayer. And to me, that's probably one of the biggest things, is this affords me the opportunity to be involved in our community. It affords me the opportunity to be involved with my customers a little bit more than just, you know, I'm showing up mowing the grass and running. You know, sometimes that has to be done. But again, it's just trying to build that relationship. I personally, you know, we could talk about evangelism. I am not too effective with going up to a stranger and just talking the Bible. I'm more effective of let's just be genuine, real, honest friends. And hopefully, like you were saying, Robin, with your grandmother, something in my life will indicate, hey, there's something different here. And someone I can talk to, someone I can trust. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it just directs that relationship. And I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Sure.
That's how it guides me, and my faith guides my decisions and interactions with others.
I had a guy working for me, and one day he said,
"That's good.
Can I tell you something?" He said, "I noticed you never cuss." He said, "You never curse." And he said, "I've seen you get upset before, but you've never said a bad word in front of me." And I had an opportunity to share with him how my faith won't allow me to do that. My relationship with the Lord won't allow me to do that. And he said, I've never met anyone that has never cussed. So, and you're so right about building those relationships with your clients and establishing that testimony in front of them. So I appreciate your answer. Brenda, you were a school teacher, is that correct?
That is correct.
And how did your faith help you in the education profession?
You know, the main way that it helped was in relationships with the other staff members, mm-hmm. because I think all of us are there to treat the children lovingly and well, but oh my gosh, dealing with adults, that's something that they don't teach you in college. They don't teach you about gossip at work and you know, backstabbing. I mean, just, yeah. I worked for great principal who had such a wonderful staff, and we would actually, it was nothing to walk into the staff room and see some people huddled up praying. That's just the kind of school that we had for most of the time I was there. And then I had some other principals, and it kind of fostered a different environment, you know, where, and we had a lot of new people come in, and it was just every man for himself, and it was a little ugly sometimes. And so that's when you know, really, you know, you need to shine. That's your time to shine and become a Christian, you know, be a Christian at work. And it's so important. Like I said, loving the kids, that's easy, but loving on the adults and not retaliating and, you know, not getting involved in nonsense like that, it's nice. And I think Steve actually enjoys that part of lawn mowing because he's a little bit by himself. You can just, you know, concentrate on what he's doing and not have to, I don't know, work relationships are something they really need to teach you in college because that's hard to navigate.
Right.
Right.
I've said many prayers on my mower and shed a lot of tears on that mower, just talking to the Lord and enjoying the weather, enjoying being outside and being able to pray and just feel the presence of the Lord while I'm working. So I enjoy that time out there.
Yes.
Running a business can be time consuming. How do you balance church, family, and business all at the same time?
My wife is like, yes, please
explain
that. You
can take that one.
I'll be honest, it's difficult. And this isn't going to be this is kind of just the reality of things, okay? Let me just explain a little bit for those who may not know. A lot of people, there are a lot of ministers, preachers out there in the world, in our country, and they're what people call bivocational ministers. And what that means is, you know, we may work another job to support our family and, you know, provide for our family. The church where I have been blessed to minister at for the last 13 years is a small congregation, 30, 35 people, average attendance somewhere around 30. So it's very small. They're not able to support a full-time minister, let alone a family. And so that's a situation where a congregation might look at having someone who's able to preach, teach, invest in the congregation, quote unquote, part-time. If you've ever done anything, volunteer or even in ministry, you learn very quickly there's no term such as part-time in ministry or in volunteer things that you get involved with. There's just no way I can say, well, I'm going to be up here Sunday morning at 10 and I'm going to teach for an hour and then go home and life's over. You get involved with the hopefully a minister would get involved with the congregation. You're again, back to those relationships. And so that's not something that you just shut down and turn off. At least it's not for me.
Right.
I'll get calls at night. You know, there's someone in the hospital we need to go see. Or, you know, there's some family situation happening that maybe they would like for me to come in and talk. So those things happen. And like I said, it's just not a part-time commitment, in my opinion. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Steve is very scheduled, and he takes his responsibilities very seriously, and he normally is up at 4:30. Yeah. And he spends that 4:30 to 7:30 time working on church stuff, on Bible lessons, yeah, and all of that. And then he gets ready to go, loads up the trailer, and starts mowing. And of course, he has time to listen to podcasts. He has time to listen to other sermons. He has time to think and pray, like you say, while he's mowing. And then when he gets home late at night, if he's still got some energy, he may work on that some more after the sun goes down. So he works very hard. But he did that even when he worked in another job. He still fit ministry in.
So that's what I was getting to, is it's just a very scheduled routine. Like, I have to discipline myself to be up early, because I know that is, for me, my best time. I'm a morning person,
and that's quiet in the house.
It's quiet. That's when I can concentrate the most. So I generally get up, like Brenda mentioned, at 4:30, and I'll work till 6 or 6:30 for a few hours every day, and then go out and do whatever needs to be done that day. Sometimes in the mowing season, right, we're working till dark.
Right.
So often in the heavy mowing season, it's, you know, come home, grab a bite to eat, say hello to my youngest daughter. My other daughter's usually out running the town by that point. And, you know, spend a little time, and then back to the studies and, you know, prepping for the next Sunday, actually.
But it's good because he's here at home. It's something he can do
right
here. And he's, you know, if he's here, if we need him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you ever used your...
People talk about a work-life balance. I've never found that.
Okay. Have you ever used your business as a platform to share or reflect your faith with clients?
I mean, like I said, the only time I would do that would be if someone asked me a question about that, or, you know, may know something about me, see me on other, you know, social media, and they have a question. I personally, right or wrong, this is kind of what I feel. I think that a lot of people today can see when you're not genuine about something. I think especially a younger generation can just see right through that. And so people recognize if you're sincere, if you're genuine. And so for me, the way I like to share my faith is to be genuine and to be honest. I don't want anyone to ever feel like I'm trying to pull a bait and switch. You know, I'm buddying up to you to be your friend so I can teach you about Jesus. You know, I'm not saying people do that, but for me, it's just about building that relationship, being genuine, being honest. We're going to be friends no matter what. And then hopefully, like I said, they're going to see something in my life that represents the Lord. And hopefully, if there's ever a need, I would be available to answer questions or, you know, pray with them as needed. I don't know if I'm expressing this the right way. I hope I am. But I think it's just the genuine relationship that has to be first, right? We just need to work on that. And it's not about anything else other than we just want to be friends.
The Bible says to always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, a reason for the hope that you have. And if you are building those relationships and you're ready, when those opportunities come up, you will be ready to share.
Right.
That is good. I think sometimes we're more successful in reaching somebody when we become their friends. And when you build that friendship, then the chances are more likely they're going to open up and be receptive to your faith and your Christian walk and your Christian experience. So let me ask you this. What are some lessons that your faith has taught you about perseverance in business? You know, we can talk about the woman that was persistent. She just wouldn't quit knocking. And she finally got what she needed because of her perseverance. So what has been some lessons that you have learned through perseverance that's helped you in business.
Rand, you want to take a swing at that?
Sure.
I'm thinking in my head.
We made a decision. Steve lost his job in May that he had been at for nearly 24 years. And after a few weeks of looking for a job, we said, well, we got to do something. So we thought we'll restart the lawn care business, because he had done this on the side previously. And we thought we can restart the lawn care business. And that was a fairly big step of faith, because we knew that that was not going to be the road to riches immediately. And it seemed like, you know, getting a traditional job would have been wiser, maybe. It would be insured more money, but we chose this for a reason, and that was because we really wanted him to still have time to be a minister. That was very, very important to us. We didn't want to get a job where he had to quit preaching and, you know, leave the church without a preacher. And so that was important. And we just, for a lot of reasons, we just said, I think this is what we're going to do. We prayed about it. We really didn't have a definitive answer, but we just said, we're going to step out in faith and do this. And I think there came a time too when we were like, is this working? Do we keep going or not? And the verse that we have said over and over to ourselves this last year is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we just had to say, look, it doesn't look like on paper that we're going to make it. Maybe we won't, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing. You know, all we can do is work our hardest, give it to the Lord, and seek him first and let him deal with the rest of that.
Now, you were talking about the persistent widow there. And I think one thing that has really focused me and helps me through the years is it's not my commitment to the Lord, but it's the Lord's faithfulness to us. And I know that when I experience failure, when I disappoint myself even, but the thing is, the Lord is faithful. And I think through our lives, we have to learn the faithfulness of the Lord. It's not so much about, you know, what I'm doing correct, but it's about what he's already done correct for me and for us, you know, as his creation. And so what the lesson that I learn is, a lot of times is, yes, we're going to experience setbacks. We're going to experience difficulties and hardships and even failures in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we cannot be persistent in our faith. It doesn't mean the Lord has abandoned us. It doesn't mean that the Lord has neglected us or let us down. And I think it's just that attitude of understanding the Lord's goodness and moving forward in that, even though at the moment the circumstances may not feel like it, it may not look like it in my life right now. But looking back over my life, and especially looking through the Bible, sorry, I'm trying not to get preachy, but looking back through the story of Scripture, one of the things you see is the faithfulness of God over and over and over. And that's something we can build into our lives, and we can rely on his faithfulness, even when we fall short sometimes.
Amen. Robin, you have something to say?
You're talking about perseverance and pushing through and using your faith to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. And I think we've all had these experiences in our life where God guides us. He said in Psalms 32:8 that he would lead and guide us. And so one of the things that you were talking about business, and I know I'm not lawn care, but I do have a Teachers Pay Teachers store, and I started in 2013. And Andy can tell you the hours that I worked on that, hours and hours and hours I worked on that. And the first year, I made $98, and you would have thought I had made a million, but I had a huge, huge learning curve. I was doing it in Word, and if you've ever done Teachers Pay Teachers or anything, you know, like, it's very difficult in Word, because I didn't understand PowerPoint, but perseverance, I just kept going and going, and now I, you know, how many years is this? My math is not mapping, but it's 2025, and I'm still going, and God has provided so many things through that, through that venue of stream of income. And, you know, it didn't make me rich or obviously at all, but it has blessed us and it met some of the needs that we had. And I just worked really, really hard and persevered through that. And through that, a lot of it was, God, I need your help, and you're going to have to show me how to do this. And so it became successful, and it's helped us, you know, pay off debt and do some of the things that we want to do before retirement, and really help meet some of the needs that we've had over the years. Like, one of the examples that I can tell you is our basement flooded hugely. What was that, about 2017, 2018? No, it wasn't. Sorry, it was in 2020. And that TPT coming in helped us pay that and not have to go further in debt for that. And that's so right. God really blessed. I mean, it was just what we needed right in time. And I was able to send, you know, a check to cover the expenses of that. I mean, that year, everything broke loose. And God just blessed that year. I don't know where it's going to come from. And I said, well, it came in. And so I would just send that off. And so God did bless through that. So the perseverance pays off when God leads you and guides you, and when you stand on his word, and when you stand on the scripture that he gives you. You've got to, like you guys said, you keep repeating that scripture, seeking first the kingdom of God. And that scripture, when you stand on his word, it's not like he's obligated, but he kind of is, because it's his word, and we repeat that back to him, and we give that back to him, and he will abide by that, because it's his word.
Yeah, I think that helps us keep our priorities aligned and in alignment with him.
Yes, because when we've gotten, you know, worried about money or something, we're like, oh, we've got to work harder, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, just that panicky feeling, when we're already doing everything we can, it's not helping anything to get all panicky. Just keep working and rely on him. We're going to
yes.
keep going and just try.
Yes, and he will lead you. He will guide you. He'll give you that next step.
Well, life is easy on the mountain. But when you're in the valley and you're walking by faith and not sight, life is a little more difficult. And I think all of us realize that, because we've had situations in our lives and sicknesses and my throat cancer and you know, trying to run a business and the ups and downs with that. It's easy when you can see the way, but it's harder when you can't see the result and you can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. But we walk by faith and not by sight, and that's when life is a little harder, when you can't see, but you just keep walking.
Right.
So I really appreciate you all coming on my show. I need to play a word from my sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Spring is right around the corner. Are you ready to grow your lawn and landscaping business this year? If you want to stand out from the competition and attract quality leads, a professional website is the way to go. That's where Green Frog Web Design comes in. They'll create a beautiful, user-friendly website that showcases your services, highlights your best work, and helps customers find you fast. Your new website will make a lasting impression and bring in the clients that you want to attract. And here's the best part. Right now, you can get started for just $1 for the first month. It's an offer so good, even our competition started using it. This spring, grow your business. Head over to greenfrogwebdesign.com today, or just click the link in the bio and let them build the perfect website for your landscaping or lawn care company.
And we're back with Steve and Brenda Ellis. And the next time we come to Galveston, we got to meet for lunch.
Yes.
I was thinking that.
I was too.
Absolutely, yes.
I would enjoy nothing more than to be able to shake your hand and meet you face to face and be able to just sit down and talk.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you one more question before we close this out. How do you hope your faith and business will impact future generations?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I have something to say about that, if you want.
Sure.
You want to think first?
Go ahead. No, first? No, I already know what I'm going to say.
Well, I was just going to say that it's been really good, I think, for our children to see what we've been through this last year. Is that what you were thinking?
Similar.
Close. We didn't want this for them. I mean, Dad losing his job. We tried very hard not to let them worry. And we tried very hard not to have conversations in front of them to let them know how worried we really were. We tried not to do that. But I think it's been a very good thing for them to see. And I'm kind of glad in a way that it happened, because they've gotten to see us choose the Lord and trust him. You know, like you said, when everything's going well, when you're on the mountain, it's no big deal, you know. But they've seen us in a valley this last year, and they saw us continue to choose God. And I hope that that has impacted them.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to get real emotional here. This is a lawn care podcast, after all. I mentioned a little bit about my family and my dad. And again, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I had a good dad, I'm very grateful for him. But it was a different way of life completely. And I don't want to share too much about that. But there was in our family, my family, a string of divorce on both sides. And people, you know, I had some faithful examples in my family, but more than not, well, let me just say this. When Brenda and I decided to get married, one of the things we committed to was, we said, from here on out, you know, our family, my family, will be known as faithful followers of Jesus. There's been enough in the past. There's been enough in the background. But we kind of committed. We're going to drive the stake down, you know. And from this point forward, here's how our family is going to be known. And it's going to be known as people who serve and who follow Jesus faithfully. So that's been a tremendous, I don't know if it makes any sense, but it's almost like it's a generational thing. And you know, we've carried some things through the generations in our family. And I wanted that to stop here. And like I said, I wanted our family to be known for something different as we move forward. And that's been very, very important to me to live that way, and to be able to raise our children and our family in an environment that, you know, they see how much faith shapes and changes our lives. I can't tell you. I wish I could express to people, you know, we see so much about religion. We see so much about church in the news, in the media. And a lot of times the influences that are what we see is not in a very positive light. And I just want to say, for all of those things that come up in the media, you know, they're the big stories. But so many people are out, everyday Christians like yourself on the mower. So much of the church is just out doing the work, and you never hear about it. You never see it on the media. It's just something going forward and something that's moving all the time under the current of everything happening in our current climate. And it's these people who just say, you know what, we're going to live faithful lives. And that may not mean I'm on a podcast. That may not mean I'm on TV. That just means I'm going to be faithful where I'm at. And that, to me, is the real church. That's the church. And,
yes.
So I just wanted our family that was what we wanted to be known for. And again, it just, I am thankful that we have been able to do that in our family, with our family.
Well, I couldn't tell you how many times I wanted to just say, amen. I felt like I was at church and you were preaching to us.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But,
No. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I want you to realize that. And I know our listeners are enjoying what you're having to say. And my wife and I both came from split homes. My dad left my mother when I was about 6 years old. And life wasn't easy for from my mom. I grew up dirt poor, and it was very hard. Life was tough. But my mom, she took us to church. She taught us about Jesus. And there were so many times I could lay down at night and I would hear my mom praying for us, praying for her children. She raised five children by herself. And all five of us are still actively involved in the church.
That's awesome.
And just raising us in faith and trust and believing that God can make a way when there is no way. I want to share one more story about that. Remember one time we had no groceries in our house at all. My mom come home from work. She knew we didn't have anything in the kitchen to cook. But she said, I'm going to go cook supper. She went in there and started pulling out pots and pans and getting stuff gathered to fix a meal that we didn't have. But someone came by with a couple bags of groceries and said, I felt impressed to bring these to you.
Golly.
And my mom, she said, I told you I was going in there to fix supper. Faith, God can move mountains.
Yes.
And to our listeners tonight, I want to tell you, whatever you're going through, take it from Steve and Brenda and my wife, Robin, and from me. God can make a way when there is no way. He can turn water into wine. He can make water come from a rock. He can provide quail and manna from heaven.
That's right.
And he can open up doors no matter what you're going through. Missy, say something.
Mm-hmm. I also came from a family. My mom was a hard worker. She worked three jobs, but that did leave me and my little brother at home a lot by ourselves. And so, you know, I can't say anything negative about her. She worked really, really hard, but church wasn't something that she was able to put into our lives. And so then, you know, when we would go visit with Grandma, that's where God met me at that place. And so just looking at my journey over my life, going even back before my mom that raised me, I was adopted. My birth mother passed away when I was 14 months old. She died of cancer, and I did not know my father. And so I was adopted, and then, you know, into a woman that she was single, and she was also divorced, and she was just surviving. She was doing everything she could to just put food on the table as well. And so I was raised in Metro Houston, and we would visit Galveston then to see my grandma. And so, but God knew all along, because had I not been adopted, I would never have gotten to have my precious grandmother that brought me to the Lord. And so I see the work of God in my life from birth on. And so he has been faithful. He's been faithful through everything. And I think that is what makes us who we are today. It makes us, that's what gives us that perseverance. That's what gives us that tenacity to move on and to continually rely on my faith, because I have been relying on God my entire life. And so tough people can go through tough things and make it through on the other side. And that's my goal, is to make heaven my home.
Amen.
Well, Steve and Brenda, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation tonight. And I got a little emotional, but I want our listeners to know you can have faith in God.
Yes.
And God can come to your rescue, whatever you're going through. Steve, tell our listeners how they can connect with you how they can follow you and tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Probably the best way is simple. On the ministry side, Bryn and I have a website. It's simplyrevised.org, SimplyRevised.org. And from there, you can find our podcast and everything that we're doing kind of on the ministry side, probably the best way. Facebook, Instagram, we're in those locations, but I'll be honest, it's a trial for me to put stuff on social media. I know I need to, but yeah, just visit us online, simplyrevised.org. You'll find everything there. For our business, the lawn care side of things, it's eartheffects.online. And we're as well on Instagram and Facebook with Earth Effects.
And Robin, tell us about your social media and your podcast and how people can connect with you.
Well, before I do that, what is the name of your church, Steve and Brenda?
It's South Belt Church of Christ.
South Belt Church of Christ. And where is it located?
In Pasadena,
Texas. So to any listeners in the listening area, you need to be there Sunday morning, right? 10 o'clock? Am I guessing right? Look at me. So God bless you and your ministry. And we pray that God just blesses your services and brings lots of people to the Lord, because I know he's going to do great things for you. To find me is pretty much Robin Wilson, First Grade Love, on all the platforms. I think I went through each one of them last time, and I'm getting better. So it's Robin Wilson, First Grade Love. You can find me on Teachers Pay Teachers. You can find me. Now, my podcast is called The Education Connection, but First Grade Love pretty much everywhere else. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're back on TikTok. Yeah, and I have a website called firstgradeloves.com, just because the First Grade Love had already been taken. So firstgradeloves.com, and so you can find me there too.
Well, thank you for tuning into the Lawn Hustle Podcast. I hope today's episode has given you tools and inspiration to help you in life's journey. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and a kindly worded review. And until we talk again, keep hustling, keep growing, and keep turning your passion into profit. Until next time, take care and keep the grass greener on your side.